Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Grab a stool next to Greg Corumbus of Radio America and Jim Garrity of National Review. Three Martini's coming up.
Really glad you're with us for the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We do have good, bad, and crazy martinis today, just not in the usual order. We're going to start with the bad, because for the most part, President Biden's first State of the Union address was reheated leftovers of his existing agenda, at least the things that haven't gotten done yet, which is a lot of it, thankfully. Some tired old tropes that just simply aren't true, some gaslighting. There were some better moments, more towards the beginning, as he was focused on the Russia and Ukraine situation. He, first of all, made this announcement as the latest efforts to hamper Russia's economy and punishment for invading Ukraine.
Tonight, I'm announcing that we will join our allies in closing off American airspace to all Russian flights, further isolating Russia and adding additional squeeze on their economy.
Speaking of flights, we talked yesterday, Jim, about fly zones and how some people want no-fly zones over Ukraine, monitored by NATO and even the U.S. Biden making clear that's not going to happen unless Russia goes beyond those borders into an actual NATO country.
Our forces are not engaged and will not engage in the conflict with Russian forces in Ukraine. Our forces are not going to Europe to fight Ukraine, but to defend our NATO allies in the event that Putin decides to keep moving west. For that purpose, we have mobilized American ground forces, air squadrons, ship deployments to protect NATO countries, including Poland, Romania, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. And as I've made crystal clear, the United States and our allies will defend every inch of territory that is NATO territory with the full force of our collective power. Every single inch.
Then he got on to the domestic stuff, Jim, and that's where confusion tended to reign in a number of places and other places where you just flat out don't believe him, like saying he's going to secure the border and that Democrats totally want to fund the police. Here's a contrast. First, the clip of we got to build and buy everything in America, which sounds great. And then also, hey, we're going to tax you guys.
That means make more cars and semiconductors in America, more infrastructure and innovation in America. More goods moving faster and cheaper in America. More jobs where you can earn a good living in America. Instead of relying on foreign supply chains, let's make it in America. I may be wrong, but my guess is if we took a secret ballot in this floor, that we'd all agree that the present tax system ain't fair. We have to fix it. I'm not looking to punish anybody. But let's make corporations and wealthy Americans start paying their fair share.
Well, that's going to do a lot of good for businesses, of course. Jim, then he talked about how COVID is waning, and so it's time to get past the discord and the disagreements of the pandemic, because, man, we need to be unified, forgetting the fact that he's been one of the people causing a lot of the disunity. So here's that statement and a couple of recent statements from him that would suggest otherwise.
Let's stop seeing each other as enemies. Start seeing each other for who we are, fellow Americans. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? This is the moment to decide.
You've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
And, of course, our last clip here, he accused Republicans of trying to suppress voting.
The most fundamental right in America is the right to vote and have it counted. And look, it's under assault. In state after state, new laws have been passed. Not only to suppress the vote, we've been there before, but to subvert the entire election. We can't let this happen.
So a lot of content there, Jim. A lot of places we could go with the conversation. Some definite gaslighting there, some contradictions in policies, some clear statements, I would say, for the most part, on Russia and Ukraine. Others thought he should have made the case for why it's important to stand with Ukraine. What stood out to you, good, bad, and otherwise?
Greg, you're really trying to get me to use the term. There's a lot to unpack here.
I use too many clips, I know.
You're just loading it all up there. So one of the things that jumped to mind as we listened to the made in the USA, made in the USA. Everything that the Biden administration does is going to be made in the USA, except for the COVID tests that they ship to us and that they have more. Oh, by the way, apparently 40% of those COVID tests they send out haven't been claimed. We have there's just sitting there. Hopefully the expiration date is still some ways away. But I happen to notice it was made in China, and I'll avoid any crude jokes about the COVID-19 becoming pre-installed in the COVID tests we get from China. They're perfectly reliable and safe, but kind of ironic that this administration likes to beat the drum on made in the USA so much. And then, of course, this big project required lots of imports from China. I think to the extent I'm going to remember this State of the Union address, which is not going to be much, it's going to be that. I turned to CNN maybe half hour, 20 minutes before the speech began. And they had CNN, for all of their faults, and they have many. It's a better place without Chris Cuomo. And every time Don Lemon takes over for Anderson Cooper or Wolf Blitzer in the prime time in the evening, I groan. But CNN's got a lot of reporters on the ground in Kiev. The footage is amazing. The interviews are amazing, and they're doing a good job. This is what CNN has always been best at, not giving you, not political shouting shows, but just live on the ground. Here's what's happening in this far off corner of the world. And I just put everything in the State of the Union in perspective. Right. I mean, the Russian invasion that is occurring in the name of, quote unquote, denazification blew up a Holocaust memorial yesterday. Right. I mean, they're shelling cities. They're blowing up schools. There are reports of doctors and hospitals and neonatals. This is as hellacious and bad as it gets. And I'm supposed to get really fired up about the fact that the highway guardrails are going to be made with steel that's entirely made here in the United States. The president's speech, the first 5 to 10 minutes that we're focusing on Ukraine were fine. I think that's when he got the most bipartisan applause. And that was, what you'd expect. And then he went back and gave exactly the same speech he was planning to give about 2 weeks ago. And you could just kind of see that there was a section about Ukraine that was tacked on in the beginning, maybe 10 minutes worth, because it was an hour and 10 minutes of a speech. It was far too long. Biden is not a stirring orator. And it just felt like the State of the Union always sounds like a laundry list. Last night felt particularly like a bad laundry list of legislative proposals that we all know are going nowhere. And nothing has changed. Joe Manchin still feels the way he does. Kyrsten Sinema still feels the way he does. The balance of power in the Senate and the House is the same. Nothing has changed from a couple months ago. It was a truly pointless speech. It will be quickly forgotten. And it just seemed small in light of the serious events happening halfway around the world.
Do we see a Democratic argument, particularly on the post-pandemic, if we're actually at that point now, unity pitch here? Or is the way that his administration and others acted towards people who disagreed with them going to linger? I mean, how well will that be remembered?
I kind of feel like if the irony is, as we laid out, this was a presidency that was in, deep doo-doo as of a few weeks ago. Biden is not changing the poll numbers. His approval rating is still very low. All the berating in the world isn't going to change the mind of Manchin. He's in bad spot. So along comes this really, I don't want to say unprecedented, but really rare, large-scale foreign policy challenge. A dictator is invading neighbors in Europe and doing so in unspeakably brutal ways. Biden wanted to be FDR, okay? Here's your FDR moment. I hear you. But if you're going to do that, you got to lead into that. You have to basically put aside all of your usual, and we're going to do gun control and all the other kind of stuff that has been tried and been rejected and is going nowhere. So there really was an opportunity for him to hit the reset button, no pun intended, dealing with Russia, on his entire presidency last night. And he chose not to do it. And I think it demonstrates a certain amount of lack of nimbleness and a lack of creativity around the team, both in Biden and who, you know, we didn't have high expectations to begin with, but also with the team around him, most notably Prime Minister Ron Klain.
No, that's exactly right. And we will see. We'll be talking about Biden again in the next martini a little bit as well. But yeah, the needle didn't move. Even David Axelrod admitted the tide had not turned. And based on what most of the numbers are showing us in the instant polls, most people who watched like Biden. So they're fairly lopsided in his favor, although apparently not as good as last year. So
yeah, I mean, the people who don't like Biden aren't watching. So they're not going to show up in those instant polls of did you watch the speech and what do you think? So.
All right. Well, if you're frustrated with not a lot of action at the border and Biden trotting out his same old list of terrible ideas that thankfully haven't gotten enacted into law so far, but you're worried about that and what's going on in Ukraine and your own life has a lot of different twists and turns as well, of course. So is your mind sprinting? Has it been doing that for years on end now, leaving trails of stress, anxiety, and fatigue that might be eroding your mental health a little bit? Well, if that sounds like you, then it might be time to adopt some small daily practices that will have a huge impact on your long-term happiness and well-being. And it's easy to learn with Headspace.
You know, we all say, oh, we're doing fine, when we don't mean it. But fine isn't really an emotion, now, is it? How many times have you told yourself, I'm doing fine, when you've really felt anger or sadness or just on edge? Headspace is scientifically proven to help you manage your feelings and your mental health. In fact, a recent study proved in just 2 weeks, Headspace can reduce your stress by 14%. Whether you want to relieve stress and anxiety or sleep better or just improve your focus, Headspace is your everyday dose of mindfulness for real life.
And as we've said many times, our executives here at Radio America have pointed out that a number of different hosts have used Headspace. It's just a quick app for the most part, 5-10 minutes, just to kind of reset your day a little bit, and gives you better focus, better sleep. They say that many of our hosts have seen excellent results as a result of Headspace. And so, however you're feeling, try Headspace at headspace.com/martini and get 1 month free of their entire mindfulness library. This is the best Headspace offer available, so go to headspace.com/martini today. Again, headspace.com/martini. All right, let's talk about Four Patriots. That's also good news today. Fourpatriots.com/martini is where you want to go. Fantastic deals on so many things. You can get your last chance at deals on the Patriot Pure line of items, including the UV phone sanitizer, the UV wand, the sanitation solution machine, and the disinfecting power bank. But right now, their deluxe 3-month survival food kits are back in stock after being sold out for more than a year. These 3-month kits have 688 total servings per kit, which is about 8 per day, also about 1,500 calories per day. And better recipes than ever. Pancakes, mac and cheese, chili, potato soup, spaghetti, lasagna, and more. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You can stash food away and be confident that whenever a disaster strikes, you and your family will be ready. Go to fourpatriots.com/martini to get the deluxe 3-month survival food kit and the peace of mind you deserve. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $97. That's the number 4patriots.com/martini. That's 4patriots.com/martini.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Jim, one of the things that Biden spent a curiously small amount of time on in the State of the Union address last night was our energy situation, both from an economic situation as well as from a national security standpoint, because as I think Steve Scalise pointed out yesterday, we are spending $700 million a day importing oil from Russia, about 600,000 barrels per day. Now, there are some administration officials say that it's on the table to address that, reduce that, maybe even eliminate it if that's possible. But to this point, that has not happened. Biden's still sticking with his anti-fossil fuel strategies. Meanwhile, over at the trading for crude oil today, it got as high as about $112.50. As we're speaking right now, around noon Eastern, it's $108.33. But of course, it's always fluctuating. So it went north of $100 a barrel, I believe, yesterday, the day before, Jim. So the fact that he's still dragging his feet on this energy agenda, and I know we've talked about this in Martinis already this week, truly insane.
Yeah, and this is what I mean by the lack of nimbleness and flexibility and adaptability in this administration. Like, looking at this situation, they're headed towards an absolutely disastrous midterm election at this point, red wave, red tsunami, you know, whichever metaphor you prefer. And if you're Biden, you have a chance. This is one of those things where, like, if you want to say, the Greens would be disappointed if you said, yep, we're going to expand the leases, we're going to make it easier to frack, we're going to expand U.S. domestic oil and natural gas production here at home. The Greens would be upset, but lots of other people would prefer it. It would send a pretty clear message to the rest of the markets, and you might actually reduce gas. Or at minimum, no one would be able to say gas prices are unbelievably expensive and Biden is doing nothing. Biden isn't saying, well, the answer to high gas prices is to go, or right now he's effectively saying, go buy an electric car. Of course, maybe those electric cars are pretty expensive these days. And he's like, oh, all these plans that are kicking in far down the road. Oh, we're also releasing more money from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. If you've been listening to this podcast, I think went down about a dime or so for a few weeks and then went right back up again. It is not an effective tool. It's a temporary short-term measure. And when gas is, I mean, I think it was regular by me, it was around $3.50. If you wanted premium or super premium, it was well past $4 a gallon. God help you if you're in California. You know, this was a chance Biden had to pivot. This was a chance where he could have said, all right, you know, I really want to reduce our you know, carbon emissions. Oh, by the way, he could have pitched for nuclear power, but we know the Greens won't allow him to do that either. And it just is in this utterly frustrating, you know, situation. No, you know, he couldn't give up on this, which means he's staying on a path that's not working and he's waiting for it to just magically turn around, which is kind of his approach to a whole bunch of issues related to inflation, which he also insisted was temporary and nobody figured it was going to be sustained and things like that. So we have a calcified old man as president who's charted his course. He's not going to deviate. And even in tons of evidence that it's not working and making things worse, he will not adapt. And it's just utterly, utterly frustrating, Greg.
It's very frustrating. Good on Joe Manchin for also pointing out that we need to end dependence on Russian energy and get back to domestic energy production. Even if you think renewables are the future, and there's reason to debate that, we're not there yet. There's no way to produce the capacity and the amount of energy we need at a reliable rate at a price that we can afford, other than the way we have been doing it. You've got to have this at least as a bridge, if not as a reality check going forward. So the fact that Biden and most of the Democrats don't want to acknowledge that is very, very frustrating. In fact, you know, AOC and Rashida Tlaib, because of course everybody, as you pointed out yesterday on Twitter, has a State of the Union response now, disappointed that Biden didn't go further in their direction. They, of course, want to pretty much ban fossil fuels immediately. But Jim, there is something fantastic that we can talk about here. And the left wants to kind of ban this too, because they think this is adding to the climate crisis. And that is the fantastic meat available at Omaha Steaks. I still remember getting my first package of Omaha Steaks, as congratulations for our oldest daughter being born a number of years ago. I was not only grateful for the gift, I was surprised how great they were. I'd heard of Omaha Steaks before. I figured, oh, you know, they ship them across the country, they're probably pretty good. They are phenomenal. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to stock up on all your favorites. And look, the weather's getting warmer. You're probably going to clean the grill soon and start cooking out. March Madness is around the corner. I'd say opening day, but not so much. Visit omahasteaks.com and enter Martini in the search bar and order the Omaha Steaks sampler today. You'll save over 50%, plus you'll get 12 Omaha Steaks burgers for free with your order. This package has it all, from the butcher-cut filet mignons to the caramel apple tartlets, and everything they've got there, from their steaks to their burgers to their franks to their meatballs. It's all fantastic. Honestly, there is a reason why Omaha Steaks has been the leader of gourmet steaks and food since 1917. No one comes close to matching the flavor, tenderness, and value of Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com and type martini in the search bar to take advantage of this exclusive package. Every order is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee and delivered safely to your doorstep. omahasteaks.com, keyword martini. And don't forget, when you use the keyword martini, you get 12 free burgers with your order.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Jim. We said yesterday, grim news for the most part in Ukraine, and that's still the case on a number of fronts. The EU has somehow completely flopped in their promise to give fighter jets to Ukraine. That's a whole different story. The Russian convoy seems to have slowed down a bit, but they do believe that within a week, most likely, Kiev will kind of be choked off, and within a month, things could be really, really dire there. But we do have some good news, because remember that Putin ordered his special hit squad, an elite group of Chechens that he had in Africa for some reason, over to Ukraine to take out Volodymyr Zelensky, the president, and a whole list of other people. But that has not succeeded, to put it mildly. According to reports, Oleksiy Danilov, Secretary of the National Security and Defense Council, said an elite group of Chechens had arrived in Kiev to kill the Ukrainian president. He said they were in two units, one of which was captured, while the other was under fire from Ukrainian forces. And he told Ukrainian television the Chechen units, which, quote, came to kill our president, had been eliminated. So hopefully that means that they are dead. So, Jim, the other part of this report is that they got good intelligence from a source inside Russia that was not in favor of the war. So hopefully that person is not sniffed out. He could be a very good source of information. However, if he is caught, I'm sure he'll be dead within hours. But what do you make of at least that bit of good news?
Yeah, look, we're getting a lot of information from the Ukrainians that it conceivably could be propaganda, conceivably could be exaggerations of what's happening. But it seems pretty likely that if, you know, God forbid, Zelensky passes away, is killed by some bomb or something, we're going to know about it. So the fact that Zelensky is still alive is a sign that at minimum, this Chechen hit squad did not achieve their mission. And when you say they're hopefully dead and killed, Greg, I don't think it's likely the Ukrainians just talked them out of it. Chechens seem pretty hardcore. They don't seem like the type to say, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. So I'm glad to hear that. You mentioned the NATO countries not offering air assets to the Ukrainians. And in fact, I just happened to, right before we started taping, write a corner post on this. I've gone back and forth on this, Greg, and I kind of feel like it's probably the right choice, as much as it may be deeply frustrating. Because the problem is, in fact, there have been several reports over the last couple of days of either Ukrainian officials or other European officials saying, yes, we're about to give, basically effectively lend our air fighter jets to the Ukrainians to say, hey, go get them, guys. Go, good luck, Ghost of Kiev. Go attack the Russian forces. And the first thing to keep in mind is that the Ukrainian Air Force flies Soviet-made planes, the MiG-29s and a couple of Sukhoi jets. And most NATO nations are not flying those kinds. They're flying Western-made planes. Look, we have pilots in our listenership. I'm sure they can get a better sense of the difficulties of transitioning from one kind of fighter jet to another than I can. I do know that if I'm going into a life or death combat of dogfights and stuff like that, I don't want to kind of sort of know how a plane works and stuff like that. So there are three NATO countries that do have MiG-29s, Poland, Slovakia, and Bulgaria. But all of them have basically said, no, we're not turning them over. And for very understandable, Poland, Slovakia, and Bulgaria might feel like, hey, we need those right now. We kind of need all of the ones we have because we need to deter any further Russian aggression and stuff like that. The other big problem here is that if the MiG-29, let's say Poland says, fine, you can have our MiG-29s, come over, you know, put your pilots in them, go fly and attack the Russians. Well, if jets that are attacking the Russians are taking off from Polish bases, you know, God only knows if Vladimir Putin is seeing things clearly at all, but you know, it'd be very easy and understandable if Vladimir Putin said, okay, that Polish airbase is now a legitimate target because that's where the flights that are coming that are bombing us. And if that comes to pass, you have the Russians attack the NATO airbase, Article 5 gets invoked, and before you know it, we have a full-scale war between NATO and Russia. That would be very, very bad. As bad as what is going on in Ukraine is, I think all-out World War III between Russia and NATO would be worse. So the question is, how do we avoid that scenario? NATO is going to be sending Stinger missiles. NATO is going to be sending the Javelin anti-tank weapons. I'm sure they're sending over all kinds of other weapons and ammunition and stuff like that. Sending them jets does not seem like a likely scenario, unless you can, you know, the scenario I put out in the corner, which I know is kind of ridiculous, is land the plane right near the border, put a Ukrainian pilot in it, taxi across the border, and then take off. And, you know, then technically it's a Ukrainian jet taking off from Ukrainian land. So, I don't think that's going to come to pass. I'm hoping we don't end up with a all-out war between Russia and NATO. But, Greg, the idea of what's unthinkable has changed very dramatically in just the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm sorry you have to focus on another disappointing story involving jets. But
I taped with with Scott Mason, who does a Jets podcast, yesterday. I said, this is the best, happiest topic I've had to talk about in weeks. It wasn't this. It was Omicron. It was COVID-19. It was lab leaks. It was Afghanistan. Yeah, you know, 4-13. That's good news from where I sit.
Hey, and this is the free agency month. Next month's the draft. This is the busy season for teams like ours.
But who's been rooting for Russian bears all along, Greg? You know, when we do our attack ads for.
Very good. Yes.
But then again, like actually, Zelensky was the voice of Paddington Bear. So I guess some bears are okay.
Jim, on that note, see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity, National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. Subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. Please tell your friends about us as well. We'd love to have them along with us as well. Please continue those 5-star ratings and your kind reviews. Those are a huge help to us. Get us on those home devices. All you have to say is play 3 Martini Lunch podcast. Follow us on Twitter. He's at Jim Garrity. I'm at Dateline_DC. Have a great Wednesday, and please join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.
Longtime CIA operative Rick Prado joins me to discuss his decades fighting communism. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Prado takes us inside his daring missions and how political considerations often take priority over national security. We'll also discuss how best to tackle the China-Russia threats, and I'll also explain what's really going on as Vladimir Putin puts his nuclear forces on alert. Don't miss it. Follow the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show, or as a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. Why the need to remake country music and into what? From there, I looked at art. Art under the guise of totalitarian regimes is so interesting because it seems that Beyonce is doing exactly what totalitarian regimes want done with art. Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
In an attempt to divide America and Israel, leftists have spread hateful falsehoods about Israel and its right to self-defense. You deserve the truth. Hey, y'all, it's Sarah from The Sarah Carter Show. Israel has missiles flying over its head, yet the radical left is calling them racist, evil, and every other smear imaginable. It's disgusting. And on this week's Sarah Carter Show, we expose them for what they are: anti-Semitic lies about our Jewish brothers and sisters. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on your favorite podcast app.